Hey everyone, today's episode of Strictly Hip Hop has a new guest, my boy Jed. He is really dope. He's a person that I met on Clubhouse. He's a producer, songwriter, label owner. And we just kind of get into the conversation that I've been wanting to have for pretty much 2 years now at least, and that's the feature run idea and comparing the three that we love to compare so much on this podcast, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Drake. It's always fun to compare these three. So we're comparing specific windows of their feature run. J. Cole, as you know, in 2018, 2019, had that legendary feature run that he announced, including the Dreamville album and all of that. And then Kendrick had his 2016, 2017 run with Damn, leading up to the release of Damn and then post-Damn. And then Drake was the most consistent of all of them. So it was kind of harder to narrow it down. But I ended up going with a specific time range of Drake, and then we kind of broadened it at the end to just overall features and of the three artists. But it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting question of how important are people's feature runs in their legacy. And so we kind of look at that and take a look at some historical feature runs as well, and really just kind of dive into this discussion that I just always have wanted to have and was waiting for the perfect guest. And I feel like Jed was the perfect guest, so shout out to him. A link to his stuff is in the description of this podcast, so I encourage you to go check it out, give him a follow, all of that. He's a real dope, genuine dude. I'm not going to do too much promotion stuff. Just basically look out for Imperial Media, Chris Platy Show Episode 2 coming on YouTube, coming very soon. I have another NBA podcast dropping simultaneously this day, because tomorrow, if you did not see it on my Instagram, I will be out for the next couple days with my wisdom teeth being removed. So I'm definitely not going to be potting the next couple days until I recover. And so I just wanted to give you guys some good content. And I know it's been a little dry recently. That's been because a lot of shifting of my schedule, and also just a lot of stuff, especially regarding, you know, dentist appointments and things like that, getting myself set up for this procedure that I'm having, and all of that. So I apologize for the, delay in content, but I got two podcasts coming today, and I got more coming right around the corner. And if in the meantime, if you missed it, check out my episode 1 of the Chris Platy Show on Imperial TV. Check out my feature on Dead End Hip Hop's channel. I reviewed the Blast album. So yeah, man, without further ado, let's get into all of it. If you don't, please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Chris Platy, CHRISPLATTE. I know you know how to spell real. That's all the housekeeping I got for you today. Let's get into today's episode, debating the feature runs of J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake. Let's go. Hello everyone, welcome back to Strictly Hip Hop. As always, I'm your host Chris Platy, and coming on the show for the first time is my guy Jedekiah, producer, songwriter, artist, Clubhouse friend. Just really enjoyed our hip hop conversations we've had over the last week or two on Clubhouse, and I wanted to bring him on the podcast for this very special this special debate in this special podcast that I'm working on right now. But before we get into that, man, you are in Texas right now. I will not disclose your location any deeper than that if you don't want me to. But I just want to, first off, you know, say, check in with you and see, you know, how are you doing? How is everything there? Because I've heard a lot of terrible things.
Hey, man, it's a little crazy. There's pipes busting all through the complex, but we're living, man. We're surviving. The electricity got cut down for like 2 days, bro. It was crazy.
Jeez. And you know, this is just my obvious ignorance as a Michigander, being somebody that's so used to the snow. You know, I was one of those people that, unfortunately, when it first happened, when the storm very first hit Texas, I was like, 6 inches of snow, you know, now they know what we're dealing with in Michigan. But it's just
Right.
it is just a different level, especially when you're in a climate that's not used to handling those things. You adjust to it. Like I think of my relatives deep up in Canada. I have relatives that are very deep north in Canada, and you know what they go through weather-wise is even different than the Midwest and the extremities that what would be otherworldly to us would be pretty normal to them. So it's one of those things that it kind of once you step out of you know. Your everyday experience, and you factor in that, yeah, like this is why, you know, snow in Texas is a lot worse than it is in Michigan, because Michigan is, you know, used to dealing with it, you adjust to it, all of that stuff, whereas this is a whole different ball game for you guys. So everyone is good on your side, everything's straight.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you asking. It's definitely different because like we definitely get snow over the past decade or so, but we deal more so with ice, like our streets just ice. So I when my electricity shut off, I drove to my sister's house and I made it all the way there, bro. And then I asked my homie, I was like, "Yo, you want to drift? Because we're in the snow." And he's like, "Nah, bro, we're gonna crash into a curb." And I made it to my sister's house and drifted on her street and crashed into a curb. It was the funniest shit.
Yeah. Damn, man. Well, glad everything is good. Glad everyone is safe on your side, man. Let's get to it because this is a podcast that I've been truthfully wanting to do for a very long time. I looked at my notes and I first made this note in August of 2019 when J. Cole announced that he was doing his last feature, and that he was ending his feature run. And I thought about, I've always liked the idea of feature runs. We always talk about, you know, obviously the Lil Wayne feature run, Jay-Z's feature run, like all of the great artists. And we're talking about the all-time greats here. We're not just talking about, you know, artists that are talented. We're talking about the greats, the cream of the crop. And when we look at their, every one of them has some type of run where they string together either a high volume of features or just a lot of memorable features back to back to back. So before we get into this, we're debating Cole's feature run, Kendrick's feature run, and Drake's feature run. Not all of their features, but a portion, like a moment when they made an actual run where they're consecutively streaming features at a high volume. So before we get to those years, which I'll outline all the tracks as we get to them, just how important is it to you, Jed, about the importance of a feature run, like how much does it value an artist's hip hop legacy?
Man, I love the idea of this podcast, and I appreciate you having me on it for this. I think feature runs are probably like having a child, man. Like you, if you could do a feature and top the artist who made the song, which features are for really, then man, that's goated. Like on top of the artists we're talking about featuring on each other's songs and killing each other on them.
Right.
So I'm excited to dive into it, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, would you just like so I look at like a factor of what determines a great hip hop artist, right? Like you look at obviously their album, their discography, their you know, their commercial success, their critical reception, all of these things. But I think that a feature run, as I dove into this, I just kept seeing it, and every artist that we would consider a hip hop legend had a great feature run at some point. So I think it is a very important thing. It's probably not as important as having amazing albums, but it's an important part of hip hop, especially when we talked what you just talked about with, you know, getting together and trying to beat somebody on their own track, which is, you know, the stem of hip hop is the lyrical competition that it presents. So it's been important to me, and we're looking at particularly 2018 to 2019 J. Cole's feature run, which was basically post KOD. Then you have Kendrick's what I call his Damn run, which was 2016 leading up to Damn, and then finishing the rest of 2017. And then we're looking at Drake was the more difficult one because he's been that guy that's consistently featured, and he's pretty much every single year he's had one of the biggest records, that not even of his own music, because he releases at a higher volume than Kendrick and Drake, or yeah. Kendrick and Cole, which we talked about on Clubhouse. But particularly with Drake, like, he literally finds a way to also be featured on one of the biggest songs of the year. So with Drake, we're really looking at, I looked at quite a few years. There's of course a honorable mention to the 2015-2016 run where he absolutely went bonkers with Future, Meek, Sean, Migos, YG, Khaled, Rihanna. Like, he had a great 2015-2016 run, which is pretty much relatively on the same level. But I'm looking particularly at his 2011-2012 run, because I think that's an interesting blend of Drake. It's sort of the transition of Drake from the just being featured on every Lil Wayne song, you know, performing lyrically, to then kind of doing the poetic justice, like the pop songs that still obviously have lyrics in it and are rooted in lyrics, but it has more pop and melodic features to it. So I'll just pose it to you like this. Looking at the feature runs, J. Cole, and I'll try not to make this winded, but I'll just highlight their features real quick in these runs. All right. So J. Cole's 2018-2019 run, you got his feature Trippy on Anderson .Paak's song, Ari Lennox, Shea Butter Baby. He had The London with Trav and Young Thug. He had Purple Emoji with Ty Dolla Sign. He had Off D's with Jid. How Did I Get Here with Offset, Say Nah with Moneybagg Yo, Pretty Little Fears with Black, the Rhapsody song, I never know how to pronounce it, and it's one of my favorite albums ever, Eve, Sojourner, I believe is how you say it. I honestly don't know, because they never say it in the song.
I just say Juvenile as a joke.
Maybe okay, we'll roll with that. We'll roll with that. S Juvenile, we'll call it. S Juvenile. And then obviously he got a string of features on the Dreamville album, Down Bad, Sacrifices, Under the Sun, Remembrant. He had the freestyle with Wale called My Boy. He had Tribe with Boss. He had Out of Sight, Out of Mind with J-Rock on Redemption. He had Bob Boat on Royce of 5'9's Book of Ryan album. And then he had American Dream, which he actually collaborated with Kendrick Lamar and Young Jeezy. And then we get to Kendrick Lamar 2016-2017 run, Freedom with Beyonce, LA with Ty Dolla Sign, Holy Key with DJ Khaled and Big Sean, No More Parties in LA, Kanye West, What Is Wrong, Isaiah Rashad, God Is Fair, Sexy Nasty, Mac Miller, Really Doe, The Posse Cut off Danny Brown's album, Atrocity Exhibition with Absol and Earl, Starboy off The Weeknd's album, Walk On By, Thundercat off Drunk, Perfect Pint, Sway Lee and Gucci Mane. He remixed Mask Off with Future, Doves in the Wind on SZA's album, Power with Rhapsody on her album Layla Wisdom, Yeah Right, Vince Staples, Big Fish Theory, The City, YG Hootie, which was a low key one that he did for a LA artist, Kites off the NERD album, as well as Don't Do It off that same album, and then American Dream with, as mentioned before, J. Cole and Young Jeezy. And then lastly, Drake, which is the shortest of them all. Looking at his 2011, he had In the Morning with J. Cole, he had She Will with Lil Wayne off the Carter 4, he had I'm On One with DJ Khaled. 2012, he had Fucking Problems with A$AP Rocky, he had Poetic Justice with Kendrick, Amen with Meek, Round of Applause with Waka Flocka, No Lie with 2 Chainz, and Stay Scheming with Rick Ross. So I'll just pose it to you, simply put, if you had to pick a if you had to rank them 1 through 3, who's your number 3 on these feature runs?
Kendrick.
Okay, and why do you say that?
I say that because... Okay, are we going off of, like, selling records and popularity, or are we going, like, who, like, killed the verses bar for bar?
I mean, you know, I think the criteria is always a little bit of everything. I'm that guy, not to play the fence, but I think that everything, but everybody has their own criteria. So, you know, if you value maybe the commercial success of a record more than necessarily the lyrical bar for bar performance that it is, because some tracks aren't meant to be lyrical bar for bar, and some tracks aren't meant to just be deep cuts, or they're just meant to be, you know, part of the album rather than a standout track. So, you know, however you want to gauge it is up to you. Just kind of explain your criteria and why you
why you have him number three of the three.
Yeah. Let me explain why Kendrick Lamar is on the bottom. I think this is not a discredit to Kendrick Lamar. Obviously, we're talking about greatest of all time here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I've heard. Did you say wow?
No, I did not. Was J-Rock? Actually, yeah, I did not. I actually forgot to list that one. Wow. Yeah, that's actually among one of my favorites.
Yeah, see that. I've been listening to that a lot lately, but that's like the only one I could think that I really say when I'm around people and I'm like, y'all hear this or y'all. Or I play music around people. It's mm-hmm. it's never really Kendrick.
Okay.
So for that reason, he's out.
That's fair. I mean, listen, a big part of music is sharing it. You know what I mean? And like playing the right music in the right settings. And honestly, I'll spoil it a little bit. I had Kendrick as my number one.
Oh yeah.
Of the feature run. And everything you argued though is the way I would concede, because you know the argument against Kendrick is that you know these other artists, particularly Drake, had bigger songs that were commercial that are more easy to listen to and are listenable in more versatile settings than Kendrick. But I just enjoyed really enjoyed, especially when it kind of tied in with Damn, and how Damn was literally every single song on Damn Kendrick had at least one line claiming that he was the best rapper, and yeah. He really went for that and brought that energy to the features, and he did a lot of things on a feature run that I thought were impressive, that I feel like I'm in the minority of being impressed by, like Walk On By with Thundercat, that ended up being one of the most popular songs on the album, but it's definitely, when you listen to it, it's a deep cut record. And then you know, and then he's got like God Is Fair, Sexy Nasty with Mac Miller, that's like the closing to a Mac Miller album. So he kind of went for the songs that just gravitated towards him rather than just trying to get on the biggest record or the record that he believed was the biggest. Yeah. And I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that, you know, he had the No More Parties in LA where he tried to go bar for bar with Kanye West. Holy Key with Big Sean, which was is a standout record for me. I think him and Big Sean went absolutely amazing toe to toe there. Power with Rhapsody was really good. But again, these are more lyrical performances. These are more, and then he took records like Mask Off with Future and then remixed it. But instead of taking a hit song that was commercial and commercializing it, he went for this is my chance to like showcase my showcase how dope I am, and he's literally comparing himself to Prince and like all this wild shit. And so I just enjoyed that part of it, because I think of like this the story of Kendrick, and I think of like what a feature run is, and I look at it as a way to cement your legacy. And there's multiple ways to cement your legacy, which we'll get to when we get to Drake, but I think when it comes to the feature run and the way Kendrick did it, was he could have gone one of two ways. He could have gone the let me try and get on every record that I believe is going to be the most popular, kind of like what he did in 2013 with hopping on, you know, Fucking Problems and stuff like that. But
right.
I like that he went for this is going to be my run of features where I'm just trying to be the absolute best on every song and steal this song. And I think he did that the most consistently. Honestly, when it comes to especially like from a lyrical side, I think he I had three songs of the 17 of the 18 songs that I named, including Wild Freestyle, which I didn't name, but including that one, there was only three that I have marked down that I don't think that Kendrick, you know, was the shining star or the spotlight, the 100% spotlight on. So I think that was great especially when you look at, you know, the fact that he jumped in with lyrical guys, like I said, Big Sean, Kanye West, you know, I mean, Ed Danny Brown, Absol, Earl Sweatshirt, like he took this time to really step in with a lot of different types of artists and go with the lyrical artists, but then also with the pop artists and still just take the song in a whole different direction, and I appreciate that. So that's why I had him. I had him one.
That sounds fine. Yeah. There's no wrong answers, man.
There's definitely not.
Okay. I agree with you, actually. To a certain extent, I do think that like J. Cole's features, like on Sacrifices and that Sojourner record we were talking about with Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. I mean, even there's so many like his the. Kendrick is a storyteller, I want to say, and how do I word this the right way? Because I don't want to not get my point across. Like, J. Cole is like a picture painter, right? He paints pictures for you, so you can like vividly see the image, rather than Kendrick Lamar. Is more of like a book writer and a storyteller, and he takes you on like this whole long journey. Like I listen to J. Cole, which he would be my number two for features, feature runs. I would listen to J. Cole's features to bring up Off D's, you feel me? With JID, that goes crazy. I think he did better than JID, and I hold JID up there on like bar for bar rappers.
Yeah. I think and that's funny cuz I actually had Cole 3 and the reason like you said, I think that's a good point, and that's well I'm admitting that that's why I picked Kendrick 1. I'm also conceding why that could be the reason that he's not 1, because you look at a particular song that I don't know how familiar you are with, but Walk On By, the Thundercat album, that the Thundercat song that I mentioned earlier, is literally just it's a 16 bar verse, but he's telling a story about some like about how he set up some dude and like, you know, shot at him, but then he ended up, you know, thinking he was a gangbanger, but in reality he was a man coming home from like the military or some crazy shit that like you just he heard the title track saying Thundercat saying this is gonna be called Walk On By, and he literally writes this whole verse and talks about the at the end shooting him in the leg and watching him walk on by. And like tying the concept of the song, and like sometimes trying to concept that, like tying to the concept to the album, like Weeknd talked about that. So I kind of like held that into a higher esteem, but that's a totally different feature style than like you said, J. Cole, who does a great job at painting a picture. And I like that analogy that you use. I think it works perfectly because Kendrick is more of a detailed story writer than J. Cole. It's just kind of makes you feel what he's saying, and he tells a story, but most times, but he tells it in a way that's very clear, very easy to you know put together. Versus Kendrick, you know, it's that reward of if you listen to the song 3 times, then you kind of get it a little bit more. And in the streaming era where there's a billion songs, you can listen to whatever you want. I mean, how many people are listening to songs that many times? So I can concede that. The thing I had with J. Cole was that, you know, his feature run is great. And my thing, the reason why I had him 3 is because I don't think of the 3, he dominated the presence of the song as consistently as the other 2. Like, he definitely had the songs like Bobble Boat, The London, American Dream, which actually has Kendrick on it. And he definitely outperformed Kendrick, you know, Tribe with Boz. Like, he dominates a lot of these records. But then there's some where it's not necessarily where he either gets outshined or he definitely doesn't outshine the artist. And with J. Cole's features, the way I look at his features is he always looked like he was with his features. The goal was to just be the standout moment, was to top everybody. So like he got on like Down Bad, he got on Under the Sun, which everybody, those are songs that are, even though they're popular, they are, at the end of the day, they are kind of like posse cut. Like, those are bar-driven tracks.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really lyrical.
Yeah, and Cole holds his own
to a certain extent. I wanted to budge in on you. I don't mean to interrupt. I wanted to agree with you on what you were saying about Kendrick. I want to put it out there that Kendrick is the better lyricist. And he has, in my opinion, a more expanded vocabulary. But I think J. Cole's like flows, like he make him a better, like, I don't want to say rapper, but like a flower, like mm-hmm. he has a better cadence than Kendrick Lamar does.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
I definitely can see that. 100%. Cole always comes across as very listenable. It's weird when I've had the argument with people that are like, you know, is J. Cole average or is he bad? Like, and then just like, dude, like, you don't like I have a lot of people like, you know, those memes of like J. Cole, like, oh, it puts him to sleep type stuff. And I've just never gotten that narrative. To me, Cole has always just been very, very listenable, very easy to digest. And there's also a brilliance in, there's a beauty in simplicity, I should say. And, you know, Cole does that extremely well. And again, the only reason I had him third is because I think it seemed like his intent was every single song to be the moment that everybody talked about. And I think there was a lot of times when he got on tracks and he never slouched on any of his features. I don't think any of these three ever slouched on any of the features that we're naming today. But there were times when it wasn't clear that he was the standout moment or that he actually did, you know, get beat. But again, he was never performing bad. So again, we're splitting hairs. We're talking about all time greats here. But that's essentially why I had Cole three.
Yeah, I can't blame you, man. I mean, that's why I love having this discussion, is because, like, you know, it's making me rethink and reconsider things I've never really considered. I don't want to move on to Drake just yet. I want to keep it here for a second.
Let's go.
I think over all time, man, feature runs, I would have to move Kendrick up, just because longevity wise, fucking problems, that's mm-hmm. probably, I can still say that shit word for word, Kendrick's verse, like, right. That's just one of those things. But you know, this is also a time where Kendrick was dropping Good Kid, Mad City and things, and this is an album we bring up every time we bring up Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. So it leaves me wondering, do we have to know who Kendrick Lamar is already to like the music that he drops? Like, you feel me?
Yeah, I think that the answer to that is yes. Like, despite me being a huge Kendrick fan, I definitely think the answer is yes, because I've actually, in the course of, through my Instagram and Snapchat and whatever, and through the following that I've gained, there's been a lot of people that, you know, came across me and liked what I do, but not fully understanding, you know, the inner dynamics of hip hop and everything, and so, and just music in general. And so, for example, I have a friend of mine, I just started putting her on to some music, and she wanted me to put her on to some rap, so I was sending her some songs, and I started with the simple songs of like Drake, Kendrick, and Cole and all that. And, you know, one of the things was I noticed about her was that as she sat with the music more and she got to, like, she actually gave it more time and she kind of got to understand kind of who Kendrick is, because then she started asking me questions about Kendrick personally, you know, like as far as like I was explaining to her how he's like the only rapper to ever win a Pulitzer and things like that. And so once she kind of started to understand those things, she started to look at him differently. So I think that you're 100% right when it comes to Kendrick, that particularly, I wouldn't say at the end of the day you totally need to, especially for songs like Fucking Problems, where I think he's just absolutely hypnotic, ear catching, and
distinctive.
And,
yeah,
yeah, and distinctive is a great word. But I think that, yeah, if you want to get into the walk on bys or the songs that I mentioned that I hold in high regard for Kendrick features, it's like, yeah, you have to kind of get into the essence and the nuance of who Kendrick is. And I think that applies to Cole as well, and Drake. Actually, I think it applies to all three, but I think it applies to Kendrick by far the most, because Drake, you know, it's when we get to Drake, we'll talk about, you know, how he, it's the narrative that he's created about, you know, his love life, you know, about how he's just, he's painted himself as this ladies man who's always looking for, you know, who's always looking for a relationship, but at the same time walking that line of just being a superstar and going through the, you know, the superstar life, the rock star life, and, you know, what that kind of affects and changes relationships that he has with certain women. And so there's a narrative that you have to understand with Drake. And then with J. Cole, you have to understand that he's just this guy who's like, all I'm about is like good vibes and like talking for my people, representing my people, my community. And, you know, I'm a very simple man and blah, blah. I don't do all of the industry stuff. So I think it applies to all three, but I think it's by far the most with Kendrick. And I think that gets back to what you talked about earlier with Kendrick's, the way he writes is very much like a book rather than a painting. And I think that that really showcases why Kendrick, you have to kind of buy into more.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. J. Cole, over the years, would you say, we're excluding albums, features only, mm-hmm. obviously. You would say he's number three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, when we bring in Drake, are we only bringing in the 2010, 2012 era, or are we bringing his all-time features in?
Well, we'll start with the pod conversation, which was the run itself, and then we'll expand beyond the scope of that, because I think there is a lot of value in, like I mentioned at the top of it, the value of Drake just being around, and you looking at essentially since 2009, he's had one of the biggest songs of every year of the last 12 years. And I think that that's obviously something that puts him ahead, and why I would say of all these artists, if you're considering all their features, Drake is absolutely the best because he's had the most consistency. I mean, Kendrick and Cole have literally went, you know, almost 2 years without a single feature, without a single song released, and they've done that almost multiple times. So for me, Drake's consistency is very much puts him over the top of all three of them all time. But I want to again talk about the run, because I think that there's this thing in hip hop where you look at just like the runs, the peak wanes, the real like peak of peak moments, which is, I think, at the end of the day, where I like to get into the where I like to debate, because I think it's much more fun to debate somebody at the peak of their powers rather than, you know, taking in totality the rise and the fall, which, you know, it is something that is more common with athletes than artists, but still it applies to artists as well. Artists have a prime. I've done a podcast on, you know, the idea of artists having a prime and defining that, which was a really dope conversation. If anyone missed that, check that one out. But yeah, I want to start with the 2010 to 2012 range, where he had the Lil Wayne features. He had some Rihanna features. He worked with J. Cole. He did the I'm On One with DJ Khaled, which is probably, of all the songs we mentioned in the particular feature run, is probably one of the biggest. Again, Fucking Problems with Kendrick. He was also on there. Mm-hmm. Poetic Justice, a Kendrick Lamar song mm-hmm. that Drake was featured on. Scheming. That's why he was number two. Yeah, Stay Scheming, absolutely huge. Even No Lie with 2 Chainz, I forgot about how big that was until I listened to it.
And it's like, I got everything. Oh, yeah. Headass, that's all me. I'm high.
He killed it. Like the way Drake, like, and I think as I work this out, like with Drake and Kendrick, when I pick Kendrick, I 100% admit that it's a personal preference, because with Drake, like, if we just look at the domination, like Drake dominates a song, because a lot of times he'll do the hook in a verse, or like he just makes it like a Drake song. And you look at, you know, when he does Look Alive with Black Boy JB, which is out of the realm of the time we're talking about, but is a perfect example of Drake taking a song that's not his song, but it feels like his song at the end of the day. And I think Kendrick would have like the shiny moment of a song. In my opinion, he would have the best moment, but it wouldn't feel like it's now Kendrick's song. It feels like it's Drake's song when he comes on a lot of times. So I got a question
for you.
Yeah.
You bring up Kendrick rapping with Big Sean and Kanye, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about Blessings?
Yeah.
Drake, Big Sean, and Kanye.
Yeah. I mean, that was one that was in the 2015 and 2016 round, which I think was just absolutely, I think he had two great, great particular, like, consecutive runs. Again, with Drake, he's one of, like, he had, you know, he had the songs like Tuesday in 2014. That was, like, probably his, and Who Do You Love with YG. He had two really big features that year, but that was pretty much all he did that year.
But he did steal that first, too.
Yes, he stole that. And so when you get into 2015, particularly when we're looking at, like, you know, year or 2 year runs of features of, like, consistent runs and where they're active and it's a higher volume than they normally do, 2015, 2016 is also right up there with Kendrick and Cole's, you know, Kendrick's Damn run that we're talking about and Cole's 2018, 2019 run that we're talking about. So, I mean, he had, just to outline it, like you said, Blessings. Versace with Migos, Where You At with Future, Why You Always Hating with YG, For Free with DJ Khaled,
Tuesday.
Yeah, he had the 100 with Game, which was one of my favorites. Used to This with Future, Work with Rihanna, which I never grew to like that song like that, personally. But again, I can't deny how big of a record that was. Yeah. So. Like, so you, wait, look at this.
The songs with Future, were those off of their collab album?
No, I didn't actually count their collab album, because that was like them. That was like established as them as like a joint venture type of thing. So yeah. I kind of took them off the list. But yeah, if we want to, you know, include those, it's
checking.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't also consider like Hove and Kanye's feature run like Watch the Throne, you know what I mean? That was like a moment that they came together, yeah, type of thing. But yeah, I mean, you look at Drake's and it's like, it's remarkable. Like, especially, again, some of the 2010 songs, like right above it with Lil Wayne, Gonorrhea, with Lil Wayne, like, you know, Aston Martin with Rick Ross, Unthinkable with Alicia Keys, the remix. Like, he had so many good records, and it was interesting with Drake too, because he shifted, right? Like, those songs that I first mentioned, you know, they sound, if you remember those songs, they're songs where Drake is coming in with the intention of out rapping Lil Wayne, the hottest rapper on the planet at the time. And then you get all the way to like 2 years later at Poetic Justice. And again, he's not trying to out rap Kendrick. He's just trying to fit the song and take it in a more popular direction. And so, like, he just really that feature run in particular showcases just the transition of Drake as not only in his own music, but just at, like, his entire artistry. He went from this lyrical performance, and he still has those lyrical performances in him that we've seen it is in every single Drake album. But again, it's kind of the shift in focus of him from going to the, I'm going to out rap your favorite rapper, to, no, I'm going to make the hottest song that stays in the club forever.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying. Now, we're looking at 2010 to 2012 as his peak.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, his B.B. King freestyle feature.
Oh man.
Probably so his good. Best feature yet.
I wouldn't know if I would give it that yet, but it's up there. It's on the short list for sure. It's so good. It's so good.
I mean, he also did good on like Gold Roses with Rick Ross. That's recent.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Too, but, and then, you know, of course, Sicko Mode and all that. Like, he's had some great features recently too.
Those are like real bars, so we know, like, trying to, you know, eat up the tracks now. But when we go back to like 2014, he was doing like Recognize, what, Party Next Door, you know, and he was making more those features that would fit the song rather than impress a hip-hop lover.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. So, but the cool thing in Drake's catalog is that he has both, and I think people don't give him enough credit for that. I think that's one of the things that ultimately, in my praise of Drake, I think deserves more is the fact that he really, I think he gets more flack, and it's probably because of the ghostwriting and because of the beefs and all of that, that he, and just like, you know, just hearing some of the ways that he's, you know, kind of done some things that probably aren't the best things to do behind the scenes. And, but when you look at the step back of Drake, like, I think a lot of people forget about, like, he's done a lot of the for the culture moments and like for hip hop moments. I think a lot of people look at him as just, you know, the ultra pop star rapper that, you know, the Michael Jackson level of pop in his genre in hip hop. And we've never seen somebody as popular as Drake in hip hop. And I think that a lot of times what gets lost sight in that is that he has, in his extensive catalog, he has moments where he's, you know, rapping about Pimp C, or he's, you know, or he's even sampling Pimp C, or he's, you know, or he's doing these like things, yeah, that are hip hop, very hip hop centric moments, and they're rooted in the connection of hip hop. And like, he's putting out songs like 4 PM in Calabasas where he's dissing Puff, and like, you know, those are like hip hop credible, like those are like, but you know what I mean? Like, it's funny, but those are like important hip hop moments. And so I think that he doesn't get enough credit for doing that, which is why ultimately, you know, his overall feature run is to me the by far the best of the three, because he has, number one, the most extensive volume and high catalog of the three that we're comparing, yeah, here.
I want to add, if that's going like all genres, you know, because he does do a lot of his peak features on R&B records,
right?
You know, if we're going like selling, yeah, records type shit, but
absolutely.
I think of all genres, Drake, but if we're going strictly hip hop, like, I'm glad we had this discussion, because I'm all like, I'm swapping my shit around. I want to be like Cole number one, Kendrick two, and Drake three, if we're going hip hop features.
So if you're just talking, yeah, if you're just talking hip hop, yeah. But if you're talking just features overall, you'd have them what? Drake one, Cole two, Kendrick three.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think so. Mine was to recap, because I never said it, but it was obviously implied through our conversation when I said I had Cole three and Kendrick one. That leaves Drake at two. So Kendrick one, for this particular window, for the windows that we're looking at, Kendrick one, Drake two, Cole three. But then overall, I would have them as Drake one, Kendrick two, Cole three. And then if we're just going, if we're just going hip hop, I would still give Drake over Cole, because I would go Kendrick one, Drake two, Cole three again, because for me, I look at like, he's got those Ross records, and like, those are like hip hop. Like, he definitely, obviously he has his R&B cuts that he gets into in his bag there. And, you know, his Rihanna songs, his, you know, all of that. But he also just had those ones. What's that?
Oh, I was just saying, he got that Summer Walker R&B record.
Oh yeah. So like, he dips in that R&B bag a lot, but I do think that when he actually gets in his rap bag and he does it enough, for me, you know, the Rick Ross features, the all of that, the 2 Chainz features, all that, like, I think he really does a great job. Wayne, of course, he does an amazing job with those features, and I would actually put him over Cole, because I just feel like at the end of the day, the ones that shine the brightest in the song are Drake and Kendrick to me over Cole. Even though every time Cole is on a feature, he is usually one of the best parts, if not the best part of a song. But I think more consistently, I walk away from a song that they're featured on going, wow, look at Drake, or wow, look at Kendrick, than I do Cole, simply.
I feel that. I can't argue with that, man. I do think when I listen to Kendrick Lamar, I have to be in the right mood, because I'm going to keep listening to Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying? Rather than... No, but that's not features-wise, obviously. Like, right, if a J. Cole just plain record comes on, I'll probably listen to that record and then another artist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely get that, and that's definitely the thing with Kendrick that that you have to concede is that, and I think that that's something that I also like to give credit Kendrick credit for too, is that he's able to pull in, he's able to all three of these do it actually, but particularly Kendrick, I'm particularly highlighting Kendrick because of how dense, like we talked about, his story is and how important the narrative and stuff is with particularly Kendrick. And I think that the cool thing is that he gets a lot of casual listeners to kind of come into that realm. Like my friend, I mean, she was like, when I asked her to name her favorite rap song, she literally said, I like DNA, I like Passion Fruit, and I like In My Feelings. Like she had never heard her, she had never even heard a J. Cole song. And I was like, that's how like non-hip hop she was. And so I was like, when I brought her into that, so the fact that Kendrick's able to have her listen to Good Kid and her be like, yo, you know, like it's crazy how he, like, how on Good Kid, like this person is connected to this person, and it's like this story, and it's like, yeah, that's really cool to me that he can bring somebody into a whole world like that. But at the same time, it also works against him because not everybody is like that with music. A lot of people just listen to music because they like how it sounds, and then they go from there. If they get something important from it, you know, if they get some kind of important message from it, great. But a lot of times you're just listening to music to fit the emotion that you're feeling or want to feel.
Absolutely. There's a music listeners, and then there's people who listen to music.
Well said. Well, listen, man, I think this has turned out absolutely great, this podcast. I've enjoyed recording it with you, Jed. I always enjoy you coming.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. I always appreciate you on Clubhouse as well. The rooms that we have are very fun, and I enjoy them a lot. I haven't been on Clubhouse much in the last like week or two, but yeah, that one day I remember we did like three or four rooms together in the span of like 6 or 8 hours. And
yeah,
I really enjoy that stuff, man. Keep doing what you're doing. I have a link to all of your music and everything, that every place to find you. I have that in the link to the description of this podcast. So if you're a listener of this podcast, I highly encourage you checking him out, and giving him a follow also because he's a dope and real genuine dude, and there's not too many of those to find these days. So I greatly appreciate you, man, and I enjoyed this, and I definitely want to have you back on for another conversation sometime.
Oh yeah, man, I'd love to be back. It was a pleasure. All right,
man, you have a good one.
You have a better one. Thank you.
Peace.